king put them in his house of the forest of Lebanon. Then 2 Chronicles, we know that the King Solomon died and his son Rehoboam took over. Look, notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, look at verse 9 and 10. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. It's all talked about there in 1 Kings 10. And the treasures of the king's house, he took all. And he carried away also those 300 shields of gold? He carried them away, which Solomon had made, and instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass. And he committed them to the hands of the chief of the guards and kept the entrance of the king's house. Let's pray. Father, I pray I can be a blessing to the people. Lord, please help me, Father, tonight to preach well for you. Holy Ghost, come and meet with everyone's heart. Fill me from heaven and help me to bring praises to the Son of God, the great King, our King, the Lord Jesus, King of Kings. And Lord, may people remember these truths that we try to give tonight. May they be encouraged to walk with you even closer. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight I want to give you four things about those shields of brass and shields of gold. We told you in the prior message, remember we told you that Solomon made those 300 shields of gold. Remember what I told you he did? And he put them in his house. And when King Solomon would go out and he'd visit other kings in different places, but when he would come back as he was getting close to Jerusalem, he would send word, the king's coming back, the king's coming back. And these 300 men that were armor bearers of the shields, they would run to their house and Josh would get those gold shields. And they'd line up 150 on the roadway that way, 150, and you'd have 300 men with gold shields. And they'd be taking those shields and they'd be putting them up in the sun so the rays would catch the sun would catch the gold shield. And you would have a tremendous light show. And, forgot again, John. No, okay. All righty. So I told you that, can you imagine how, like the kids that go to Disney and they have these laser shows? And people watch for the laser shows. Can you imagine that show? Those beautiful gold shields reflecting off the sun. Are you with me? Announcing that the king was coming. And 300 brilliant rays of light going up. And can you imagine, Brother Mark, as that king, Solomon, rode down on his horse down into Jerusalem and going underneath those. What an exciting time it was. How many are still with me? And can you imagine the people when they saw those golden rays go up in the sky? 300 of them. 300 of them. How many have ever seen these car lots? They have these big bright lights, or they have it at the mall. And they send up one. You see them? How'd they see 300 at one time? Wow, that would get you excited. And boy, by the way, I didn't mention this when I preached this last Sunday morning, but you know when our King comes, the sky's going to light up. And see, we're the children of light. We're going up. Can you imagine all those lights going up? I know it's a moment of the twinkle of an eye. Hello? Oh, is it going to be exciting when our king comes? Amen? Well, then, King Solomon dies. His son takes over. Of course, like all countries, I tell you, countries get what they deserve. His son left the things of God. Of course, Solomon, even in Solomon's old age, he left the things of God. So God judged the people. Fortunately, they repented, and he had some mercy. But this king of Egypt took all the gold. He took all those gold shields that they always used for the triumphant entry of the king. And so what the king did, they had no gold because everything was taken from him. He made an imitation. He made shields of brass. Are you with me?
And we picked it up there in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 12. Instead, which King Rehoboam made shields of brass. How many see that? He said, well, I can't do like my dad. He had the gold shields, but we still want those shields. I'll try to make an imitation. I'll try to make a cheap duplicate. Hello? I'll try to make a replica that's not really the real thing. How much can you say amen? Well, I want to show you a truth about brass versus gold. And I've got four truths I just want to give you tonight, and I'll go through them. I want to give you four truths tonight, teach you four great truths about brass versus gold. Number one, remember shields of brass. Number one, remember shields of brass have to be continually polished with man's hands. Didn't have to worry about those gold. They never tarnish. See, if you don't polish brass, it gets dull. It gets corroded. Come here with me. Shields of brass have to be continually polished. You know, Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, though, it shall be forever. You know, our spirituality is not measured by the outward man. Our spirituality is measured by the inward man. Are you with me? And we have substituted a disciplined flesh, a nice personality or an exciting personality and talents for and our own might for a spirit-filled life. What we've done, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how we versus gold shields. Brass representing the flesh, the gold representing the spirit-filled life. How many are with me? And what we've done is we've done kind of like what they did back there. We're picking up brass shields, try to imitate we're walking in the spirit, but really we're not. You can tell when someone's in the spirit, when someone's in the flesh. Amen. And we have Christians they acting like they're spirit filled, but really they're walking in the flesh. They got brass shields. They don't have gold shields. But they because if someone they'll say, boy, wasn't he dynamic? Or boy, wasn't she sweet? Hello? Or man, that guy's got all kinds of talent. You know what? I don't care how much talent you got, if you're not in the Spirit of God, it's worthless. Time shows whether our spirituality is brass or gold. Now listen, shields of brass continually need to be polished with man's hands. What's that mean, preacher? It means someone that's serving the Lord in the flesh has to be constantly applauded, has to be constantly picked up, has to be constantly praised. Tell them, hey, you're doing a great job. Because see what they're really doing, they're not when you serve God in the flesh, you're not really doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for man. And so people that serve in the flesh, they're seeking man's praise. I put a note here, though, so you don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with giving a good word of encouragement. Matter of fact, I try to give out good words of encouragement. Proverbs 25:11 says, a fitly word spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to encourage people with a good word, especially over a bad word. Well, boy, you look bad today. Are you sick? Man, your song stunk. Boy, I can't wait to sing the next one. Hello? Or man, you sure bombed out on that message. Or boy, did you study for that Bible lesson? How many are still with me? Usually it's the wives that are the critiquers of the people that do stuff. Not always. Preacher, I'm a good critiquer. Poor David Ballard. Every time he would preach, I would get David in my eyes and say, here, let me show you what you did wrong. Because I wanted him to learn. I wanted him to come up, and I wanted him to be a real soldier for God. And one man came up and said, boy, that boy's really got it this morning. I said, yeah, he does. I'm proud of him. I think he's not arrived, by the way, but he's come a long ways for the Lord. Amen? But notice, when you get spirit-filled, you don't need the praises of man to keep serving God. People that serve God in the Spirit, they don't need praise of man. They're going to serve God no matter what. People that are really serving God in the flesh, they thrive. Man, he don't even tell me thank you. Spirit-filled life is fresh and vibrant all the time. And we need to realize that God wants us to serve him because from our heart and in the spirit and not in the flesh. We need to read our Bibles every day until those precious words and those holy words of God become gold to us. Many times we just read our Bible because we want to say, I read my Bible. The flesh. But why don't we just sit down and say, God, I'm just going to keep reading until you show me something. God, I don't care about telling people how much I read the Bible. I just want to learn something from you, Lord. Boy, we got to just say, God, here I am. Please, I need wisdom from heaven. Lord, and I need truth from your scripture. I'm going to read it, Father. And God, I'm not going to stop reading. God, I'm not going to stop reading until you show me a treasure from heaven. And then you get in the spirit. You start reading the spirit. And boy, all of a sudden, it becomes gold to you. Number two. Shields of brass will not endure like shields of gold because they are softer. I said, number one, you continually have to polish. Man's shields of brass need to be continually polished with man's hands. Number two, shields of brass will not endure like shields of gold because they are soft. Brass is softer than gold. Our walk in the flesh will falter because our flesh is destructive. There's no good thing in our flesh. Matthew, by the way, if you try to build something in the flesh, it's going to fall. It's going to fail. It's going to falter. Let me just read a scripture to you. Matthew 7:26, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. You see, when we try to build things in our life around us in the flesh, you mark her down, something's going to come and knock it over. Verse 27 says, and great was the fall of it. I'm going to tell you right now, don't put no trust in the flesh. I'm going to tell you, the flesh will never triumph. It'll always falter. Don't trust your flesh. The Bible says, cease ye from man whose breath is in the nostrils. Get this, instead of shields of gold in our life, we are living and walking without the Spirit of God leading us, and we're using brass shields. Our flesh trying to act like we got gold shields. We put on like we're really spirit-filled Christians, but in essence, we're really carrying a brass shield. How many are still with me? We say we're walking in the spirit, but we're really in the flesh, and we really have the brass shield instead of the gold. We wonder what's going wrong, man, preacher. I'm serving God. Why is everything going wrong? Are you really? Are you really doing it in the flesh, or are you doing it in the spirit? By the way, Jesus walked in the spirit, and everything he had went wrong. People hated him. People cursed him. People even crucified him. Hello? They hated him. He did good, and they hated him. Did you ever think about Christ? All he ever did was good. Fed the hungry. Gave the thirsty water to drink. Are you with me? Made the blind to see, the lame to walk, took the fevers away from the people that were sick, healed the sick, walked on water, stopped the wind, stopped the waves. I mean, think of it, brought the dead back to life. And the words came out of the people's mouth, crucify him, crucify him. Can you imagine that? I'm going to tell you something, the Christian life, there's a lot of heartaches and troubles in the Christian life. By the way, that's why we need to walk in the Spirit. I'm glad Jesus walked in the Spirit, and I'll tell you why. Had he not, he probably would have destroyed the whole world. He could have, by the way. But because he loved us so much, he didn't. Can anyone say amen? Listen, we desperately need God in our lives, and we have no... Look, you got to get this. We have no ability, I have no ability in my flesh to help anybody. Someone comes to me, you mentioned about a person coming to you. By the way, I'm glad you gave the same answer, because the Bible's got the answer. And usually when people come to you, they don't really want the answer. 99% of the time, people really don't want the answer. They just want you to hear their problem, and they want to have someone to talk to. Hello? I know I've pastored for 28 years. Most time what I tell people, they don't very seldom they ever do it. And I just get the Bible and say, here's what the Bible says. Hello? See, we walk in the flesh. We do not yearn to walk in the spirit. Hello? We just like to make excuses. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Am I losing you? We have no ability to help people in the flesh. If we're going to help anyone, we got to be filled with the Spirit of God. We must be. Listen, when we deal with anyone, if the Spirit of God's not on upon our life, we're not going to help those people. When we deal, listen, when I deal with my wife, I need to be in the Spirit of God. You men, when you deal with your wife, you need to be in the Spirit of God. No, I mean that. Oh, well, for my wife, preacher, for your wife, for your marriage. That's why marriages are all messed up. We get in the flesh, and we don't walk in the Spirit, and we deal with our loved ones in the flesh and not in the Spirit. We wonder, why is there so much chaos? You wives need to deal with your husband in the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Galatians chapter 5. Right around verse 18 through 22. Are you with me? How many are still with me? When you that have children, and you teachers that deal with children, you need to walk in the flesh. No, you need not walk in the flesh. You need to walk in the Spirit. What I wanted to say was, when you deal with your children, you're dealing with it in the flesh. Here's what happens, Mike. You can't stop that. You can't stop that. Did you hear me? I'm telling you, and the next thing you know, come here, you little brat. I'm going to kill you. Hello? And you start shaking them, which is not of God. You start hitting them in the face, which is not of God. God does believe in spanking, but in a proper way and in the Spirit. I guarantee if you parents, and by the way, I've raised kids, we're with grandkids too sometimes. How many are with me? The reason we fly off the handle and don't handle things right is we do it in the flesh and not in the Spirit. You should never spank a child when you're mad. I mean that. I think you should spank children when they're bad. And I think you ought to spank them on their everlasting, on their seat, that board of education. How many are still with me? You know, it used to help me when my kids were young. I had a preacher teach me this, and I tried to practice it. Before, because I have a bad temper. You didn't know that, did you? So, Brother Mike, what I used to do before I'd spank my children, I would say, come here, I'm going to pray with you. And we'd get down, we'd pray. And I'd say, I love my son, I love my daughter. Lord, you tell me his word to try to correct him so he grows up to be right for you and she becomes right for you. And then I'd say, why? Do you know why Daddy's spanking you? Yeah, because you love us. I'd rather have him say that than because you hate me. Some of the most, we say some hateful words, don't we? When we say those hateful words, that's not the Spirit of God. That's the flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. Hateful words leave scars in people's hearts. Some of your kids are carrying scars today because they were disciplined in the flesh. Even my words, when no doubt some of my kids, I'm far from being perfect. But I'm going to tell you, if we would walk in the Spirit, God would bless our homes. The reason you have more chaos in your home is because everybody's walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And I'd pray, oh God, please help my children. And I'd beg God. They'd be right next to me. They'd be right next to me. And I'd spank them a couple times and say, all right now, Go out and play now. Be good now. I love you. I'm going to tell you right now, we need an attitude of walking with the Lord and not letting the flesh control our bodies. Are you still with me? See, what we're doing, we're acting like, oh, we're super Christians and we got the gold shield. But really, can I ask you, when you talk to your wife, do you have the brass shield up or do you have the gold shield up? When you deal with your children, do you have the brass shield up or do you have the gold shield up? Brass represents carnality. Gold represents spirituality. How many are still with me? Am I making any sense at all? I'm going to tell you, we as parents and by the way, Christians, we need to deal with each other in the spirit. How many Christians do we wipe out of churches because we harshly bite at them or snap at them? And so, listen, love suffereth long. Amen. Ladies, you can put up with your husband if you get in the spirit, because love suffereth long. Hello? Read that 1 Corinthians 13. And men, I'll teach you that love treats themselves like they want to be, like you want to be treated. You love them like you love you. Hello? I get a kick out of these guys that go down and buy a steak and bring their wife home a McDonald's hamburger. I'm going to eat a steak. Rosie's going to have a steak. Hello? Yeah, we got a funny mentality, don't we? It's quiet in this place. Listen, when we work, we should walk in the spirit when we work. You'll be a better worker. You'll have a testimony. The reason, like, if I went to people where they work, do you know this guy? Do you know this one? Oh, yeah, they're down there. Did they ever tell you about, oh, no, man, that guy, he tells jokes. He cusses. He laughs at all the filthy things. See, the reason we don't have a good testimony, you walk in the flesh. That's why we have no honor in our home or in our family and our friends, because we're walking in the flesh and they see it. That's good preaching. We need to check ourselves. Am I walking in the flesh or am I carrying a brass shield or am I carrying a gold shield for God today? Believers who walk in the flesh, they're vulnerable. They're so vulnerable. For instance, you get a believer that's walking in the flesh, just a little word, something that's really not very much, they get upset and they drop out of church. Because it's flesh. Strong Christians can take things. Hello? Spirit-filled Christians can stand strong. Spirit-filled Christians, they're unaffected by others' remarks and deeds. Spirit-filled Christians have God's gold shield protecting them, and the fiery darts of Satan can't penetrate because they've got that gold shield up. You know, the devil, he eats flesh, because the Bible says he goes around seeking whom he may devour. And we walk in the flesh, he's devouring a lot of flesh. Amen? Now stay with me. Brass represents the carnal life. Worldly life, fleshly life. Gold represents the spirit-filled life. Stay with me. As Christians, we as children of God, Mark, we don't have an excuse to operate in the flesh. We should always be trying to walk in the spirit. You ever notice? Look at Ephesians chapter 6 real quickly. I'll get done here in a minute. Ephesians 6. Do you ever see God's warfare for us? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. How many got Ephesians 6:10? Notice, nothing's provided here for the flesh. It's all for the spirit. It's all God's. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? Not in your might, but in whose might? His might. And in the power of His might. The average Christian walks around in their own fleshly might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? God's armor. We try to put on our armor of our own. Look at verse 13. Wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? God's. Not our flesh. It's His. that you may be able to stand, withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. Whose truth? God's truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. Whose breastplate? Whose righteousness? God's. And by the way, what does that breastplate do? It covers your heart. God's trying to protect our heart from being cruel and cold and wicked. Hello? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Whose gospel? Whose peace? His. Right. Above all, taking the shield. Whose shield? God's. Whose faith? Whose spirit? Whose Savior? Look, it just goes on. It's all His. So, Brother Bobby, if I try to walk with the armor of God on and I'm walking in the flesh, I don't have nothing of His on. I'm like that pretend brass shield. I'm acting like I got the full armor of God, but really, I just got a brass shield. My own flesh. Because when you walk with the full armor of God, you really have, you're in the Spirit of God. Because all of it's His. Can anyone say amen? Number three, shields of brass never have the same value as the shields of gold. I said number one, brass had to be polished with man's hand. I said number two, brass will never endure the like gold because it's softer metal. Number three, shields of brass will never have the same value as shields of gold. That which is done in the spirit life has an anointing on it. Say this with me. That which is done in the spirit-filled life has an anointing on it. And the life lived in the flesh, by the way, will never have that anointing and will never have the value of the life lived in, and walked in the Spirit. I want you to see one scripture. You're in Ephesians, turn back. 1 Corinthians 3:13. If we don't walk in the Spirit of God, we're wasting our life. Because, Betty, the only thing we got that's going to be in heaven is what we did in the Spirit. All the flesh is going to burn up. All our fleshly acts are going to be burned up. Look at 3:13 of 1 Corinthians. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if you walked in the Spirit, things you did in the Spirit because it was anointing, it'll go through God's fire at the Abema seat. Are you with me? Things you did in the flesh, by the way, see, the gold has got more value than the brass. What you do in the gold will last a lot. It's more valuable than what you do with the brass. Are you with me? What you do in the Spirit is a whole lot more valuable than what you do in the flesh. See the last, how many see the values? The Spirit-filled life is so much more valuable. Brass, by the way, melts faster than gold. Works of the flesh might have their approval of men, but no reward from God. Did you get that? Brass, the flesh living life might have approval of man, but not the rewards of God. Having the Spirit-filled life, the anointing of God, is more important though than having the approval of man. Annie, I'd rather want what God would give me than what man would give me. Yeah, I don't care, Brother Bobby. I don't care if the whole world gets mad when I preach, as long as I please God. Are you with me? We've dedicated, Tom and Annie and I, we said years ago, I think our ABL program is about 14, 15 years old, maybe 16 years. I've been here 18. One thing, we've always had a goal, and we've stayed with it too. Every time we meet on Thursday with those ABLers, we always try to present Christ. Our goal for our Abundant Life Club is that Christ is presented to those people. That's why we do it. That's the whole purpose of it, that we can present Christ to those people. See, I think that's God honoring. Hello? When you sing, don't sing for the man, for the applause of man. Sing for the glory of God, that Spirit. How many are with me? Notice, we need to put the Spirit-filled life has an anointing and has the approval of God. We need to put our shields of brass down and pick up the shields of gold, because most Christians walk with the shield of brass and not the shield of gold. So number one, brass has to be continually polished by man's hand. Number two, brass will not endure like gold because it's softer. Number three, brass will never have the values of gold. And lastly, number four, shields of brass can only pretend and act and try to appear like shields of gold. They try to have an appearance, but they'll never be the real thing. They take their shields of brass and they try to make them shine like the gold shields. They can't. We try to sweeten up and suit up and make our flesh look nice, but I'm going to tell you, there's no good thing about our flesh. Matter of fact, there's a scripture in Romans. I didn't have it planned, but I'll come. In Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind, that fleshly mind, it's either 8:7 or 8:9, I believe it's Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity. That word enmity is stronger than hatred. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. You'll never make, you can try to make this flesh religious, it won't make it. It hates God. It hates the Bible. It hates the things of all. It doesn't want to see people get saved. It doesn't care about if you have support missionaries. It's enmity against God. That flesh. Paul says in me, in Romans, in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Are you still with me? And look up here. What I'm trying to show you is this. We need to really seek God. Because most of the time we're going through the motions in the flesh. I'm talking about the average Christian. I'm talking about the average preacher. I'm talking about the average Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about the average deacon. Because we live in the world. Hello? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's easy to get in the flesh. It's hard to be yielded to the Spirit all the time, but we can if we'll just yield to Him. Hello? Okay. Now watch this. When we say, this is really, and I'm getting near the end. Listen to what I say, because you're going to be surprised what I tell you. When we say we are trying to walk in the Spirit, how many of you ever heard that? I'm trying to walk in the Spirit. I'm trying to walk. I'm trying to bear fruit in the Spirit. When we say those statements in all truth, that's the flesh talking. Because walking in the Spirit, you don't try, you just do it. If you're trying, that means it's the flesh is trying. Am I making sense to anybody? Our job is not to try to walk in the Spirit. Our job is simply to abide in Christ. Look at this. Preacher, I'm trying to forgive them. Flesh. Preacher, I'm trying not to get mad. Flesh. Preacher, I'm trying not to be bitter. Flesh. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, generous. Love covers a multitude of sin. Hello? Preacher, I'm trying to find peace. And God is the peace of all. The pastor. Preacher, I'm trying to love her. God said I have to love her, so I gotta do it somehow. If it kills me, that's the flesh. We can all relate to some of this stuff, can't we? That's the flesh talking, not the Spirit. In the Spirit, you don't try to do anything. There's no trying. It comes forth. This is it. Last verse, and I'm all done. John chapter 15. What a great truth. Look at John 15, and I'll close. I promise. John 15. Look at verse 1 through 4. That's not too bad, 45 minutes. Remember, I haven't preached for a little while. You know, I was gone for a week. I know I got back last week, but I'm still want to preach. I didn't preach while I was down in Florida. Normally they let me preach, and I didn't preach at all down in Florida. Man. I'm having preaching shakes. I'm Jesus said, I'm the true vine. Are you in John 15? I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me, he's the vine, we're the branches. Are you with me? That beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring more fruit. Now, you are clean through the word. By the way, you will never get spirit-filled if you don't get in the word, because Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Do you ever notice the Bible? The Bible will clean you up if you just read it. The Bible will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Look at verse 4. Abide in me. Abide in me. And I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except that you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Watch this. Because without me, you can do. So in the flesh, what can we do in the flesh? Nothing but fail. Watch this. Jesus said, you're the branches. You got to abide in me. Are you with me? Watch this. And this is so beautiful. All we got to do to be in the Spirit, we just got to abide in him and let his juices flow down into us and all through our branches. And those refreshing juices that we get from him, the Spirit, all of a sudden it starts to bud forth and bring forth fruit. It does it on its own because we're abiding in him. You see, it just normally does it because when we abide in him, his Spirit flows through us, and it flows through the branches, and the branches bring forth fruit. Branches that don't have the flow in them, they wither and they don't bear fruit. Hello? So let's let him abide in us. The four things, we're done. Did you get the four? How many got the four things? Brass versus gold. Brass has to be continually polished, number one, by man's hand. Number two, brass will not endure like gold because it's softer. Three, brass will not have the same value as gold. And the number four, brass can only pretend and act and try to appear like the shields of gold. The question tonight is this. What kind of shield are you holding up for God? Are you holding a shield of brass, or are you holding a shield of gold? I hope we all hold that shield of gold this week. Let's hold up. Let's let the brilliance of the gold shine through from us. See, let the sun reflect his rays off that beautiful gold shield. Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Bible. And Lord, I just pray that we would earnestly want your will for our life, that we would be filled with in the Spirit of God. Help us not to lust for the flesh and that follow the flesh, but Lord, help us, oh God, to abide in you. Abide in you so you can flow through us. I wonder, with our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Number one, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Amen. Thank you. You may put it down. It looked like every hand raised. To my knowledge, it looks like everyone in this building is a born-again Christian. Hence, I preached a message for Christians tonight. But I'll make the statement, is there someone here that doesn't know Christ, that don't want to die in their sins and go to hell? And you'd say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Just raise that hand. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. And then Christians, let's get serious. Some of you got grudges. Some of you got personal vendettas against people. And some of you got all kinds of bitterness down deep in your heart. You can't, listen, you can't have a spirit-filled life with bitterness in your heart. You can't. That's impossible. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Listen, if you got all kinds of wrath and things tied up deep in your heart,
you'll never have the Spirit-filled life. It's impossible. And you might walk around and say, I'm Spirit-filled, preacher. I'm Spirit-filled, church member. But really, what you really are is you're going around with that brass shield. You're trying to imitate. You're trying to imitate like you have a gold shield. But time will tell that you really didn't. And the truth will be known. It was not the Spirit, but it was the flesh. Maybe you've been walking long enough with that brass shield. And tonight you just like to come to the altar and say, oh God, forgive me for walking with that brass shield. And God, with all my heart, I want your Spirit to fill me. And I want to walk with a Spirit-filled life. Have control. Fill me, Lord. Use me. Flow through me. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that we would be challenged to be abiding in you so you could flow through us and we could reach a whole lost world that's perishing. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. 17. If you'd like to come in prayer, anything you want to do, if for any reason you come. What kind of shield do you have? Are you carrying a brass shield? When you've been spanking your kid, have you had a brass shield in your hand or have you ever had a gold shield in your hand? When you've been talking to your wife, when you've been talking to your husband, have you had a gold shield in your hand or have you had a brass shield? Were you talking in the Spirit or were you talking in the flesh? Were you spanking in the Spirit? Were you corrected and chastising in the Spirit? Or were you chastising in the flesh? When you work, have you been telling those, laughing at those evil jokes? Have you been carrying a brass shield where you work? Or have they seen the brilliance of Christ in you where you work? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America. Christians.